And I now invite Corey to come and share an interactive story with us.
Now for something completely different. Before we jump into that, I wanted to give a brief background on what you just saw, because I didn't really have a chance to introduce what I do or how I came to do it. So I am a classical musician by training, percussion, so I play with orchestras, chamber groups, all of the above. I do recording work for Hollywood, so for films, television, video games. Get to play with rock stars, pop stars. It's true. They are mostly real people. Mostly. And so that's like one area of my training. But then about 15 years ago, 16 years ago, I wrote this story called The Lost Bicycle because I was a little, I want to say like disenchanted, is that the word? With the classical music sort of ivory tower of the concert hall or the opera hall. And then there's like everyone else who can't afford a ticket. And so I wrote a story called The Lost Bicycle, set it to music, similar to percussion stuff you heard. And then it just sort of blew up from there. And so now I have somewhere between 40 and 50 percussive stories, different programs. I get to tour around, hopefully stay off the highways. It's much easier when it's local. So this is a, thanks, Shane. This is a local gig for me. So I did not even have to get on the highway. Woo! That is a great benefit. And so with these stories, they kind of are inspired by multicultural folk tales. So stories from around the world. I generally just try to adapt, use instruments that are from the part of the world, and always add context to my stories. So a few years ago, I was the first fellow in children's music at the Fred Rogers Center. If you know who Fred Rogers was, that's Mr. Rogers. Yeah. Yes. That man left quite a legacy, and so at the center, they had his archives and access to the people he worked with and all of his writings, thoughts, philosophies. And so I developed new programming based off of that called Frankie the Otter, which is a show about friendship, kindness, the power of community. I think it would kind of go well here based on what I've heard so far. It's kind of fits that mold because it's like, it's just for everyone. Like, it's a show for everyone. And I will share with Shane, but there's a free PDF document that's a supplemental guide for teachers, but it includes all these links to all these stories, video links for stories, games, activities, etc. My whole push in what I do now and the people I work with, which includes the creator of Bluey. Do you know Bluey? Yes. All of a sudden, they perked up. Yes. In random world coincidence, I went to graduate school in Brisbane, Australia, at the Queensland Conservatorium. Doesn't mean anything, don't worry. Two brothers and this other guy were there, and they started Bluey. That's random, but there's a movie coming, just so you know. There is, yeah. Yes, there is. But my whole goal through all of this is access. That's what I'm most obsessed with, arts access, or in particular, the term I use is equitable arts access. And so for me, everything I create, I want free. I want it out there. I want to level the playing field when it comes to these areas that I refer to as arts deserts, which is similar to food deserts, except for the arts. There are large geographical areas of this country that get no special programming, no access to music teachers, art teachers, drama teachers, dance teachers, fill in the blank. There is nothing. And so this program is now pushing that direction and others that I'm working with. So that is the introduction. Thank you. And I just play the drums. That's like really all I do, you know? And so now for the slightly interactive part, because, I mean, okay, It's like setting up an ice cream sundae bar, inviting kids in, and then saying you can't have any, right? So, you are going to get to make some noise. Sorry, adults. Kids, yes, we're going to do it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I know, hold on. I have to explain a few things. Sit back down. Okay, this stuff here, including my pig. Yes, this travels with me. This thing has been on like 5 different continents, just so you know. Not this kazoo. Not the kazoo. They come in a pack in Amazon for like $1.99. So don't touch that stuff. I have some stuff set up here, but I want to explain what we're going to do first. Because when I go to schools, the one thing that's changed over the years is the old school assembly. If you remember the assembly, everyone goes into the room. There's someone up there who does something, and then you go back to class. Teachers are super excited because they don't have to talk to your kids for a while. And they go on their phones, and they're like just scrolling Instagram or just like checking out for a moment. Well, the schools have moved past that a bit into ideally more workshop-oriented programming where it's a hybrid between a performance and a class. And what I do for that is we actually add sounds, we create our own story. So what might not surprise you here, and someone earlier asked me if I was a Foley artist, was it? Yeah, because there are elements of sound effects to what I do. So what I do for a story is actually pretty simple. You take the nouns, the people, the places, quizzing them, not you guys. The nouns, and you add a sound to the noun, right? And then that noun becomes that sound, or the sound becomes the noun. Same with verbs, which are the action things. You could have things like running and jumping, flipping, right? And so the stories that I tell usually have strong elements of what I call leitmotifs, or I don't call that. That's a term in opera. And a leitmotif is a sound that represents something in a story. Simple as that. So I had Stewie the Tui. I had Brie. And those sounds come back and back and back, and over time, they become that character or that thing. So that's what you all are going to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah? It's up to you. Well, just, no, not like your age. You're not 6. Okay. Chloe, you're not getting out of this. Come on. So, okay. You 7, yeah. Go, come on up, all the kids. But come on this side, because everyone wants to see your beautiful face and how much you enjoy making large amounts of noise. a couple of you might have to swing in over here. So while I talk, take a moment to softly just see how everything works. You can come, yeah. Just make sure you know how it all works. Normally this starts quiet because they think they're gonna get in trouble. And then over the span of a minute or two, you're going to hear that it's going to get louder and louder and louder as they realize they're supposed to be doing this. Get in here! Okay, I believe Drake has found the best instrument. Is that your name, Drake?
Drake.
Drake. Yes, yes, so yes. This is, every parent needs these. So kids, hold up. I got an idea. So for Mother's Day this year, what I highly suggest is you all get one of these, and at 6 a.m., before your mom has had coffee, you go, "I love you." And then don't blame me when you get in trouble. Okay, so Drake, chill with this one, okay? We know how it works. Are you guys doing anything, or are you just watching? Okay, there's sticks. You can come over here. Okay, now I need you guys to stop. This is the hard part. I know. Okay, and we're going to put together a little bit of a story. It's a story that has been around for a long, long time. It's called The Tortoise and the Hare, Aesop fable. There's a tortoise. The tortoise goes fast or slow?
Slow.
And then there's the hare, otherwise known as the rabbit, who goes fast. Okay, see, they're already, you see what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay, so now, That's like a beautiful intro. Oh, nice.
It is.
It is. Well, guess what? You can start the story then. So when I point to you, what's your name?
Odin.
When I point to you, flip the rain stick. Ready? Once upon a time, a hare boasted about his speed. We need a hare. So we need a hare. So we're going to audition sounds here. Visitor, your name is not visitor. I totally missed that one. Okay, play us your, what you think a hare would sound like. Aya! Okay, so what's your name?
Caster.
What's your name?
Caster.
Not anymore. What's your name?
The hare.
The hare! Exactly! So hold up. So when I say hare, anytime I say hare, you have to go fast. So let's maybe, yeah, you are all good. You are locked and loaded. So, Odin. I'm pointing to you. Once upon a time, a hare boasted about his speed. You got it. Not even the north wind is as speedy as I am. So, yeah, I said speed. Yes. Wait, we need a north wind. Well, maybe pass to someone else. Let's see. Who wants to be the north wind? You have to do, you want to be the north wind, Chloe? Okay, Chloe, you are now the north wind. Not the south, east, or north. You're just the north wind. Okay, not even the north wind is as speedy as I am. No animal could beat me in a race. Yeah, okay, so for race, I just have an idea. Can you all grab a shaker? Everybody? There are a lot of shakers. Everyone have one? Okay, so when I say race, you all need to shake. So race, and stop. Now, nearby, a tortoise grew tired of such bragging. We need a tortoise. Let's hear your tortoise. That is a... I've never seen someone embody this spirit. Okay, what is your name?
William.
What is your name?
Tortoise.
Thank you. So, we have the tortoise. We had to wait a little for this one because you got to... That is a slow tortoise. And the hare. Okay, so we've heard you talk, but we haven't seen you. Why don't you race? And we'll see who is the speediest. The hare burst out laughing. I could be staying still the same. Okay, I'm kind of like pushing through the story. They agreed that they would race to an oak tree. Okay, so in an instant they were off. The hare out of sight and the tortoise plodding step by Steph. Why, jeez, my goodness, Steph. Okay. So then he thinks he's won. The hare stops for a nap. And then, you know, it kind of keeps going. And the hare falls asleep. Scarlett, can you, like, you know what, Scarlett? I got an idea. Here.
Piggy?
Yeah. Exactly. So he had fallen asleep. Is that what your dad sounds like when he snores? No. Sorry, Shane. We're old neighbors. That's why I'm here. Just, you know. And now the tortoise continued on. Slowly, she came around a bend in the road and passed the sleeping hare. That's kind of cool. I like, yeah, that's right. I like that. So seeing the tortoise, I like this little, like, Chloe's like putting some melody behind this. Ah. So every time I stop talking, Chloe, just hit those one time. Be like, dun, dun. Ah. So seeing the tortoise, so close to the finish line, the hare leapt up and tore along the road, but he was too late. Before he could reach the oak tree, the crowd of cheering bystanders declared the tortoise the winner. Now, the moral of this story, slow and steady wins the race. There you go. I think she's just gone at this point. Chloe's just realized that, wait, I can do this. Okay, thank you. Put the instruments down. Put them down. Thank you, Drake. Nice job. So as you can see with this, if you can imagine a room full of 300 or 400 kids, you call some up, it's fun. And this table is usually, I usually bring like a couple hundred instruments to these schools. Yes. So a couple tables, and the instruments are divided into these family groups of shaker, wood, metal, and drum, which is over there. I have drums that I bring as well, but I saved you all that this morning. If you think that was crazy, you should see the tortoise and the hare. Where'd the hare go? The hare playing drums. It is like, it is madness. So that's pretty much how I adapt this program. And then the way that we do it in the classroom for further workshops, which I personally believe is the absolutely coolest, we write a class story together, right? And my job is basically the make sure that the tenses are the same, put the commas and punctuation marks in the right spot, and make sure that pronouns are not used. Now, this is not a social commentary on pronouns. It's because the tortoise is the tortoise. The sound is for the tortoise, not he, she, they. You can't replace it with something else because that wouldn't be the hare, because you are now the hare. I can't say he. I can't say they. I can't say that because that would be a different sound. And so we write these stories, which almost inevitably end up in some sort of alien zombie Minecraft world. And I just kind of guide them. It's a quick story, and then we set it to music immediately, where there's usually two or three characters, and there's usually one or two good against the bad, and there's some sort of battle, there's some sort of thing. And then we sort of assign these sounds to where someone might do this, Scarlet, or this, or the rain stick, and I try to lay out the sounds so that they're a little bit different, so it makes it easier for people or the kids to set it to music. Although, honestly, when it comes to creativity, they have no problem with that. We have problems with that. They do not. And so as I lovingly say to the kids when I go to schools, kids rule, adults drool. Sorry. So there you go. That is a quick foray into percussive storytelling. I wanted to thank Shane for having me out. I do live here in Newbury Park. In fact, I used to live right down the street from this dude. And Scarlett, you don't even remember this because you were only 9 months old. No, I mean at that time. She and my son are the same age and sort of grew up together, and then this little one came along. That's Chloe. Yeah. So I've known them for quite a long time. And so when Shane said, hey, can you? I just said, yes. I didn't listen to the rest, to be honest with you. So there you go. Thank you. I'll be here after. If you have any questions, the only other thing I'd say is, since there are a lot of adults here, adults know people, the way that my business and the way that this art stuff works is through word of mouth. It is not through money necessarily. It is through word of mouth. That is the best possible way for any artist to continue doing what they do. So if you know a teacher, if you know a principal, if you know a librarian, if you know something like that, try to share the stuff. I'll send you the Frankie the Otter thing. It's not the business end for me, it's the access. I try to reach as wide a demographic as possible. My story is, or my program is almost bilingual at this point. I need a little more work on my Spanish, but I'm very close to being able to offer it in a bilingual, to a bilingual school, Spanish, not like a different language. That would be, yeah. So, thank you very much. If you have questions, see me after, and I pass it back off to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Corey. What extraordinary rhythmical creations and stories you've shared with us today. And kids, thank you so much for creating that amazing story. So I think we've all been reminded of something ancient, I think, and profound, that storytelling is not just an act of speaking. Like you said, we now have a hare in our midst and we have a tortoise in our midst. And it's an act of embodying, so a way of moving a story from just our minds into our bodies, and from our hearts to our hands, and from soul into music, and from the individual to the whole community. See how everyone got engaged here. So I think today we've experienced the power of music, rhythm, and words to express stories that live inside us in a whole new way, and I'm really grateful for that. I don't know about you, but I often get earworms stuck in my head. Where I remember a certain phrase of music and sing it repeatedly, and often it has some like important message for me. And the message just lives on in this like fragment of rhythm and sound. And it's much more powerful than just the spoken word itself. And it can even become kind of a mantra of sorts. And I know that for me, and I wonder for you too, sometimes it's helped me find courage and strength and inspiration just to have a little fragment of music, of sound, of rhythm in my head. I think when we weave rhythm into story, we awaken something primal inside of us, and the beat becomes like a heartbeat, connecting us to one another across time and space and culture. And it transforms the narrative from simply a story that we hear to a journey that we actually feel. I mean, I felt like we were there on the racetrack with you all, kids, with the tortoise and the hare. And with each drum beat and each clap and each rhythmic cadence, we uncover how stories teach us, and they heal, and they inspire, and I think they bring us together. So I invite you to explore this practice of story, especially when paired with rhythm and music, because it calls for active listening, and it invites us to move together. Those of us who love to dance know that. And it invites us to engage physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So, in closing, I ask you to consider, what are the rhythms in your own lives? How would you describe your internal rhythm? Just like we had the tortoise and the hare, who are you if you were to tell the story of your energies? What patterns and beats underlie the stories that you tell about yourselves and that we tell each other? And how can we amplify our own storytelling using music and rhythm? I'm wondering, in fact, how this congregation might tell its story and share its values through rhythm and music. Maybe we'll explore that further with you sometime, Corey, because I think that could be an exciting way to look at, again, another way of touching people. So as we leave this space today, I invite us to imagine a new, more multifaceted way of communicating. May we carry forward the power of rhythm and story into our own lives. And let us remember that our stories, whether they're spoken or unspoken, are part of a great symphony of human experience. And let us find the courage to tell them, to share them creatively, and to listen deeply to one another when others do the same. May it be so.